You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Some people simply update their lives. Ntati Meso redesigned hers. Architect by training, storyteller by calling, founder, strategist, writer, Ntati didn't just pivot, she transformed quietly, boldly, intentionally. She is the voice behind Boss Plus One, a lifestyle brand and community built around soft power, soulful ambition, and the kind of structure that makes room for stillness. But she's also one of us, a Black woman who unlearned the myths of corporate performance, the pressure to stay on one path, and the idea that choosing yourself is selfish. She's here because too many brilliant women are still stuck in lives they've outgrown. And I'd love to add men too. Scared to shift, scared to start over, scared of what people will say. Tonight, we're burning all that down. If you've ever needed a roadmap back to yourself or wondered what it would be like to reinvent your life with intention, elegance, and truth, this is the conversation you didn't know your soul was waiting for. Let's get into it. And by so doing, welcome Tati to the show. Hey, Tati.
Hey, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm just wondering why there's an echo.
All right, this should be better. Tati, are you back?
I am. Can you hear me?
Ah, oh, clearly and fantastically. All right. So, yeah, you were just telling us who you are and why you are the best person to have this conversation with.
So I'm Ntati, and thank you for the welcome. So like I said, I'm Ntati. I'm a mom, a Joburg-based entrepreneur, passionpreneur, strategist, yeah, and so many things. Mm-hmm. I currently work for an incredible organization and still run my business. Yeah. None of it is within the architecture space because I studied architecture, but I'm not in the architecture space right now.
Tati, you've changed lanes more than once. I've been in touch with you like for 5 years, I think now. Yeah. And there's always something new, something different. And in all of those lanes, you dominate. I've never seen you do anything or one thing and thought, Tati, that previous one worked better. And I really just want to know, because all of it looks intentional, right? All of it looks powerful. Yeah. All of it looks graceful. What did those behind-the-scenes breakdowns or wrestles with self-doubt look like for you? Because I can imagine it's not easy to keep reinventing yourself.
No, it's not easy at all. And how it looked like was I had to make a decision that I, unfortunately, am not one of those people that has one leg. And I think when you... In the early days, I was wrestling with that to be like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I just be an architect, you know, and run with that? Or be a lecturer, because I was also lecturing as well, and run with that. Why do I have the need for more, you know? And so those were the hard conversations. And the day I just decided that that's just not me, and I'm going to pursue all of my desires, I was liberated from my own thoughts and potentially the thoughts of how other people would perceive me. So I really just decided that I'm going to focus on the things that I truly enjoy and work hard at them and diligently. And what I'll be known at is execution. What I'll be known for is execution. You know, people will respect my execution.
For sure.
That's what I'm known for.
And you are really known for that. And I'm curious, that more that you were seeking, what is it? Have you named it? Have you given it a term?
I haven't given it a term.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's more. I just think it's different. Because I think that people that have a singular path or what seems like a singular path, I don't think they're not looking for more. They're just looking for different, you know? And so, with my personality and interest, I really want to pursue my interest relentlessly. And I want my child to look at me years later and know that she can also be multidimensional and she can exist, she can have range as a woman, you know, without any limitations.
Now, here's the thing, Tati, with being multi-passionate, multi-faceted, and multi-gifted as well, right? It's that because you are exploring so many things, it can look like you don't have direction and you are even missing out on success in certain instances, right? Because when you think about those people who follow a unilateral direction in life, who climb the corporate ladder or who do one thing persistently, it looks like they're racking the points and they're doing well and they are actually making a name for themselves. But if you keep reinventing yourself, chances are sometimes the lane you are on that looked good to other people and look powerful to other people may need to cease, and you may need to take on something else. So, what are some of the lies that you had to unlearn about success, particularly in order to design a life that actually feels like yours?
So I definitely think that what people don't know is the path is clear for me and the dots connect. So when I got started in high school, I knew I wanted to be an architect, but then I was on the fence about marketing and communications. But my mom took me to see a specialist, and I sat through a whole day of assessments, and the results came back as 50% architect, 50% marketing. And so she didn't know how those worlds would collide,
Of
you
course, it's
know.
confusing.
Yeah, she didn't understand how those worlds would collide. But you know, even in when I was an architect and I was in school, I was always in the communications department. I was always, you know, the biggest thing I did in university was I ran a festival for 700 students around South Africa
Of
and the
course you
world.
did.
Yeah, and so just came naturally. So the psychologist said, let her do the hard thing and the marketing will come in naturally, which it has. And so the dots connect because even in architecture, when I was doing my dissertation, my research was about women and finances and how spaces are built for women to make money. And that has been in everything that I do. It's been about women making money. So I feel that for others, it could look like, oh my gosh, she's all over. But if you are on this trajectory, you cannot care about the opinions of
Oh,
others,
you absolutely
especially
cannot.
if they don't pay you.
Yeah.
So my goal has always been, I need to get paid. I have a set skill set, you know, I have skills that I can monetize at a high level. So even when I produce and I'm passionate about something, I never execute at the low level. Because if you execute at the low level, that's when you don't get the success, you know, that you want, and you don't get the respect and recognition that you desire. So I've always made sure that I'm going to be known for high level execution. Within all these ideas and within all these pockets that I'm placing my life in.
And I love that you're talking about execution because I want us to now explore how you knew that it was time to make those pivots when you did. And when the revelation came to you, how did you then start making moves before you hit burnout or breakdown? Because a lot of people wait for that, right? They see the signs, they feel it in their bodies, they can't stop thinking about it, but they just don't know that it is the signal that's telling them to actually make a change. So what were those signs for you, and what did you do to actually get on the track that you're being called to?
So I'm highly intuitive, and I think that's the blessing in all of this,
Yeah.
where if it's time to leave and I wrestle with that notion, I'll always get sick. So
Ooh.
physically, man, I'll be sick going to work. I tell people all the time, the first job I quit, I was in the hospital two or three times a week. And it
Tati.
just didn't make sense to me,
Yeah.
And I think that you have to have the courage to say, my bills cannot matter more than my health. That's for me, right?
Yeah.
That's for me. And I speak from a little level of privilege, where I know that I'm quite resourceful and I can survive in the world.
But
But
don't you think that privilege was bought though? Because you
yeah.
actually have to take the steps to, you can't just be resourceful in theory. Resourcefulness is shown in you taking the steps. So I think that privilege was bought.
Yeah, it wasn't for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't for free. And I always say, when I had a downtime and I went back into corporate, I had the privilege that I had a very useful degree, right? At,
Yeah.
for what I was looking at. So, but I paid for that privilege, and my parents paid for it. So
Yeah.
you're right. But I was always sick. I always know, my gut always knows, and I trust it always.
Yeah.
So a lot of people get to the burnout stage. One of the things that I do with my financial manager, the guy who heads up all my finances, is he says, you need to protect one thing. For you to do your job as a strategist, you need to protect your mind. And because I'm, like if you have any history of anxiety or anything, you'll know that your mind is it's my number one business asset.
Yeah.
And I can't afford to mess it up. So for me, if my mind is compromised, my income becomes compromised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for those who may not be as intuitive as you, what can you offer them as ways of being able to tell that, listen, if you don't take action now, you will regret it one way or another?
I'm in my mid-30s now, and I'm very proud to say that
Yeah.
because I think it's given me a level of wisdom I didn't have at 25 when I walked out of my first corporate job. But what I can tell people is that whether you like it or no, your body will know.
Your Tati
Your body will know. Like,
Tati.
it will know.
Yeah. And you and I have spoken about this very briefly on Instagram, but the body is always the first to tell you that something is wrong.
That something is wrong.
Yeah.
I wouldn't support people just leaving without plans, especially at a later stage of your
Yes.
life,
Yes.
especially if you have kids, because financial lack, mental struggles are also another type of struggle.
Yeah.
But what I will suggest always is never depend on the one path that you're on.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm able to pivot from X to Y is because I was busy with Y while I was doing X. And the reason I can go from Y to Z is because I was busy with Z while I was with Y.
Yeah.
So I'm always in between two worlds. And that has given me the pivot. The cost of that, though, is that I'm always working.
Yeah.
Like right now, as you're speaking, I have a meeting. I'm at a hotel, so I've just stepped out for this call. That's the cost of being multi-gifted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that you mentioned work, I'm very curious, and I'm pretty sure everybody is, about the kind of work that you do. You mentioned that it's really about helping women make money. And listen, I've seen you work, okay? And your thing is, Banyana Baka, let's make that dough. Let's make that cash. So, what is it that you do? What are these X's and Y's and Z's that you're currently working on?
I work for a great organization, a wellness organization
Yeah.
that was also a part time, you know, once upon a time for a few years. So I've transitioned more into a more senior full time role where we have a talent, we manage the talent, we grow opportunities around this talent and make more income, you know. So we get the ideas out there, we get it done. So that's the first thing that I do. And then I've got Boss Plus One, which is all about tools and resources to help women thrive, you know, journals, planners, stationery, and we supply at a corporate level as well for, you know, your discovery, momentum, etc. And then on the other side, I'm also in direct sales. So I build organizations and build distribution networks to help people earn money. Those are just some of the key things that I'm working on.
And, you know, you mentioned that at 25, you walked away from a corporate job, right? And the truth is, when you're there, the only path you see is there, right? And sometimes you don't even see it because there's a clear demarcation or a clear, maybe not even clear, but an unspoken, only one person is getting to the top and it might not even be you. And so to really unlock the minds of those who are in those spaces and are in that myopic view of how their lives can go, what would you say are three mindset shifts that all of them need to at least make if they're going to survive and thrive in those spaces?
So if they're going to survive and thrive in the corporate, I think you should look at it as a portfolio, number one. This is for people that choose to stay. I always think the best thing I did for myself was leaving corporate. The second best thing was coming back when I was older. And, you know, I was there for like 18, 24 months, but I went in a senior management position at the time. And it helped me with systems. I was just there absorbing. I knew I wasn't going to be there forever, but I'm there absorbing. So you want to make sure if you are in corporate, you're not just a by the way person. So you are going to work for the hard position or the position that you want. You're going to be recognized for what you want. And you're going to add this in your portfolio. So I think, you know, I don't have a lot of corporate experience and I can never speak fully on how people should experience corporate. But what I always see is people treated as I'm supposed to be told what to do. This is my job, as opposed to this is a part of my portfolio. And I'm here to learn about systems and processes and procedures at a high level.
And I love that you're using the word portfolio, because there was a time on your social media, I actually heard you talk about portfolio careers. And this is a term I came across about 2 years ago, and I've been sharing it with professionals that, that I get to work with. And I wanted to double click on it, right? What is a career portfolio and how does it really change and revolutionize the way we've always thought about careers?
I think the way we've always thought about careers, you know, I have a mother who's had the same career her entire life. She retired like 3 years ago. And then I have a father who's had a billion, you know, so, I understand the world where my mom would love for me to be called an architect. And my dad is proud that I go to bed happy. So, you have those two worlds. But what a portfolio career is saying, I have a set skills. I spend my 19s and 20s skill stacking. So I can do a lot of things. And instead of being ashamed of it, because I not only can do a lot of things, but I can do them at a high level. This is a very important thing because a lot of people can do a lot of things, but at a very dismal level. So if you're gonna decide that you're gonna be a chameleon, you've got to be the best chameleon. You know, you've got to be able to get into high places. So a portfolio career is, I can offer you this, I can offer you this, I can offer you that. I basically have a boutique of skills that can take you from A to Z. And you present that to people over time. Yes.
Oh, I love that. One thing I know for sure about you are big on structure and routines.
Yes.
You are a disciplined hun, and I think it shows in the work, right? And you were talking now about how some people have a lot of gifts, but they show up lackluster in all of those things, right? I can imagine that discipline is the thing that actually refines you and the skill you have and the talent you get to exhibit. But the thing with structures and routines is that they can very easily harden you and make you inflexible and rigid, essentially. So how do you stay soft and intuitive and open to change in a world that demands productivity over peace?
You know, luckily, motherhood threw that out the window.
Oh, tell us more.
I think, you know, when you have a child and you not only are inviting them into your world, they are inviting you into theirs, even as babies. And their world thrives on routine, but they're always fighting it. They will get sick randomly. When you have a big presentation, your child will be sick. You know, so all of this. In the first 2 years of motherhood, I was very frustrated by it, but I decided that I'm gonna bend to her rules because essentially that's what happens in nature. It's not always perfect. And so over the years, I've gotten more calm, I've gotten less structured. I've set a flexible routine and I've set sort of a, I call it a toolbox that says if I'm supposed to deliver a presentation and it can't happen because my daughter has a fever, I've been through this before, maybe 3 years ago when she was three. This is how I'm going to deal with the situation, as opposed to always freaking out and panicking and all this. I'm just going to do what I can do for now, and all that I can do is enough.
All that I can do is enough.
All that I can do is enough.
Now, for an ambitious overachiever like yourself, I can imagine that there was some, what is this term called?
Which term?
I'm thinking about it right now, and maybe that's exactly what's happening in my mind right now, but it's got to do with the mind. There was you know when there's a tripping of electricity, I'm looking for a short circuiting.
Short circuit,
Yes, there
yes.
was a short circuit in your mind because all your life you've gotten yourself used to doing things a certain way and they've been working. Now I can imagine the short circuiting that happened when your life gets overhauled by this little human being and you have to do things differently. So how did you navigate that transition between structure isn't what I've gotten to know, structure is what I can do, and what I can do is determined by what I set to do moving forward and not what happened last night or last year.
Yeah, so it does become very challenging to be overly ambitious, hardworking, the works, you know, and life happens. And what my 30s have taught me is life will keep happening.
Oh,
Life will keep
for
happening
sure.
for sure. You know, I think the first 2 years after she was born, I struggled with extreme postpartum depression because I didn't know who I was when I wasn't being productive and I couldn't be productive. So that was a big thing until one day, one of my very best friends, she looked at me and she said, Do you understand that you're a new person now and you've got to lean into this new person?
Yeah.
The person that you were before your daughter no longer exists.
She's not there anymore.
She's not there. And I was looking for her for 2 years afterwards.
Ntate.
So when life happens and people, while you're on your ambition journey, you'll navigate grief. You know, we had an insane loss last year. And the person I was before the loss is no longer the person I am now. You know. So life will happen. And that's why you need to, A, accept that and build a new framework for your life with these new conditions.
Yeah.
Accept those conditions. Don't avoid them.
Mm.
Don't try to be the boss babe before life hits you. Build the framework and your structure and your routine to support this new person that you've become.
Yeah. And now the name of your brand is actually sticking out even more because you were boss babe before your baby girl came along. And then you had to readjust to being a boss plus one.
Yes.
You're still a boss, but there's a plus one in your life now. And, you know, I was thinking about what you're saying now in terms of you being a different person. I went through a very traumatic experience last year. Something I never ever thought would happen to me, right? Because I'm a nice person. Come on, this shouldn't be happening to people like us. But it happened anyway. And I remember having a conversation with my friend and she said to me, listen, I can't wait until I have my friend back, you know, when you're okay again and all of those things. And I've been sitting with that with that conversation for a while. And I know my friend was well-meaning. I know what she meant, right? But the more I sat with that conversation, the more I realized she's never going to get that friend back because she no longer exists.
She no longer exists.
You don't become the same person after a trauma.
No, ever. You don't.
And I think the beauty of reinvention is exactly that, realizing that you are a different person now.
You are a completely new person. Yeah. You don't have to wear the trauma. You don't have to put the jacket on. It's not part of your skin.
Yeah.
So it's there.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely nothing that you can do about it.
Nothing at all. But maybe there is. And that thing is embracing it and then living the new life.
Yes. And I mean, I don't think it's easy, you know. I don't think
it's not
a bandage.
Yeah.
It is something that you work on continuously, but every day you wake up and you decide that I'm going to survive one more day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
That word. Sorry, and I'm parking here because I really think it's so important. You know that word survive, right? With any kind of trauma, changes happen, right? And for me, the biggest change was my body. And I for a long time, I was just like, I'm not comfortable in my skin and all of that. And for the very first time in what, a year, yesterday, I said to myself, your body is telling a story. And it's telling the story of somebody who survived.
Yep.
There were two options.
Archive.
Yeah. There were two options. Either you don't make it through this or you survive. And the fact that you are here means you survived. So this is you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
That's tough.
It is. It is. And also, you know, with reinventing your life, it often means outgrowing people, some environments.
It does.
And identities. How have you handled that isolation that sometimes comes with growth?
I don't think it's an isolation as such.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously I've made friends along the way.
Yeah.
I've lost friends along the way. But my mission has always been clear, even for those around me.
Mm.
And that is, I'm going to do the work that I need to do. And I'm going to answer that call, even at the cost of anybody. So I'm very clear about that.
Yeah.
To say, the people in my life know that they can't say to me, oh, well, no, I can't be your friend if you're going to do this, you know. because then I'd be like, okay, bye. You know, it's just like, this is what I need to do. And they respect that. So I've shared some friends along the way, especially friends, and had differences with people.
Yeah.
But one thing I know is at the end of the day, it's me and God. Hey?
Mm.
Like, that's it. Like, it's not a conference call.
Yeah.
It's not a conference call.
Yeah.
So I have a very high level of self-belief and trust in what I do. Mm. And I'm not really open to too many outside influences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I do think you have a community of those you trust, at least. And talk to us about community, especially as you navigate the transitions of moving your life from what it was to what you're now being called to do. Because when I said isolation, you said, no, in my case, that hasn't really been the case. And when I hear that, I hear community. So talk to us about the value of having a community, and not to say that they'll always understand your moves and your direction, but just having a community that you can lean on for support and guidance if needed.
Yeah. So I think, obviously, a community is very important, and I have a beautiful gift of being close to my parents, my stepmom, my brothers, you know. So outside of my very close friendship circle, those people have always been my sounding board. And I trust them because they're living their lives.
Yeah. Oh,
their best lives.
Oh,
so none of the comments are ever from a point of, this is what we think you should do because this is what I should do.
Yeah.
Those are comments I struggle with. I struggle and I'm very quick to pick up those comments of people who'll advise based on what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, like, my brothers are thriving, you know, my stepmom thriving. My mom has lived her big life. My dad has lived his big life. Yeah. So whenever I speak to them, it's never about who we think you should become. It's always about, this is who you should become. Mm-hmm. And if you agree with this, then go ahead. We'll support you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been incredible.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the people who've been listening to this now can attest with me that your presence is calm. It's centered. It's grounded. What are some of your practical practices that really keep you in alignment with your truth, especially when life gets noisy?
Yeah, so I write quite a bit, like very like 16-year-old style Jedi.
Yes, I can nothing relate.
Fancy. Nothing fancy. I'm just like, you know, I write a lot. I walk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to a lot of, you know, music, the word. I listen to information that affirms and sometimes challenges me.
Mm.
And that helps, you know, in staying grounded.
Yeah.
Another thing, you know, that we do at home is we make sure to connect on a daily basis. So I connect at home a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's given me a sense of this community that you speak about, that I belong. In as much as I know I belong with God, but I belong here with my family.
Mm.
And that identity has really been useful.
Yeah. Tati, what do you think holds most people back from choosing themselves?
Fear of who they could be.
You think that's the thing? And I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm really sorry to interrupt you, because there's a famous quote, right? Uh-huh. Our biggest fear is not that we are inadequate.
It's that we are powerful beyond measure.
You know, I can't seem to resonate with that quote, because I cannot think of somebody who is really afraid of being who they were always going to be. So maybe you can help me reframe it and understand it better. Do you really think people are scared of who they could be?
I think so.
How
I think
so?
People, I think people are afraid of who they could be. I think that they're afraid of how the people around them will be when they are who they're supposed to be.
Okay,
Because the
so
people around you might change, your relationships might change. And I also think that people who don't become who they're supposed to be also have control issues.
Oh, say more.
Because you want to stay how you are because this is what you know. And even if you're being called for more, this is safe. And I can control who I am right now. I don't know who I will be if I truly become who I'm supposed to be. Yeah.
And maybe I don't even know if I can fully be that person. If I just a baby. What do
Yeah,
I
you
know
don't
about
know. Yeah.
maintaining that person?
Yeah, you don't know. And I mean, this person doesn't have to be your best self. I'll tell you for free that being who you are truly will also show some of your worst traits. Like, I sometimes think of the things like that I can do, and I'm like, that is terrible. But because I fully self-accept it, I know that this is a part of who I am. I might not like it, but it's a part of me. You know, it's the shadows or whatever they call it. So you also have to be aware that there is a very good side and a very bad side of truly living authentically.
And while we're on that, to wrap this conversation up, you created Boss Plus One to help women live well and intentionally. What does a well-lived life look like to you now? And how has that vision changed over time?
I think the vision has changed over time because I thought that it's all about like, you know, getting the best, living in the best, all of that, but which I still am pursuing. But I also think it's you hearing people clearly because you're present, you looking forward to Monday morning. Because people are not looking forward to Mondays. You not fazed by a weekend. And you having enough to take care of your family, you know. And I think that that's changed for me because I used to be into you've got to drive the big car, you've got to live in a great house, and all of that. And I love that stuff. I'm not going to dismiss
Make
any
no
of that stuff.
mistake.
Make no mistake, but I can be happy even when it's not the biggest house, as long as it's comfortable, you know. And I think what drove me there was I was in a long-term relationship, and one day he looked at me, he's like, you know, when you aren't at your peak and you're not making the most money, you're very miserable to be around. And you know that I changed over the last years that money can't control the room like this, you know. So living well is no matter what I'm going through, as long as I'm safe and my child is safe, I'm happy. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so wholesome. And you know what that guy said to you? I relate with it so much.
Yeah.
Because when you are used to being a go, go, go person and having things happen when you do the things, and then suddenly they don't. Or because you've changed direction, things are moving slower than you were used to. You lose your true north. You lose your centering, right? It's like you don't even know which way the world is rotating because you are so anchored on what you believed made you.
True, true.
Sure. Yeah. anything, Tati, on your journey of reinventing yourself that you believe you need to highlight for somebody who's considering making a change, making a pivot, letting go or embracing or forgiving, whether it's other people or themselves, or really just being the person their little, you know, the little version of them always knew or their old version is trying to get back to now? What would you say to that person who's like, I really need that push?
I would definitely say to anybody, and I mean, all our stationery is themed every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, this year is the season of hope. Last year was the season of courage. Mm. And I would always say that don't stop dreaming just because you had a nightmare.
Oh, Tati.
You know, don't stop dreaming. And dreams look different for all of us, whether that's going back to school, whether that's climbing the corporate ladder, whether that's building a family, you know, getting married, whatever it is for you, don't stop the dream, because dreams delayed are never denied, you know, it's just going to happen. So you could be 50 when it happens.
Yeah.
Or 35, but don't stop dreaming just because you had a nightmare. So pursue your dreams. Mm. Even if it takes long, pursue the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're living honestly and truly, you know, just like how we go to bed and we don't control whether we dream beautiful dreams or we get nightmares. If you're living in your truth and your honesty, the nightmares will come.
They will,
but that should never stop anybody from dreaming. Oh,
no, but they will come.
They will.
And you will be challenged, you know. I feel like I'm doing amazing work and I love it. I love waking up. I don't have any anxiety about Mondays, but it's still hard.
Yeah.
But it's a privilege that it's my heart.
Oh, Tati, thank you so much for not just sharing your story, but, you know, for living out the story honestly, courageously, and with so much grace. In this conversation, you've really reminded us that reinvention isn't a betrayal of who you were. You know, it's really just a commitment to who you're becoming. And as I was listening to you, I saw the possibility of shifting direction without losing your depth. And you know, to leave without being lost, and to also build again, even more beautifully than before.
True. Oh, so true.
You make brave look beautiful, Tati. I don't want to lie. But you make it look so beautiful. And, you know, having you here has really gifted all of my listeners with the permission to become more of themselves unapologetically and intentionally. So thank you for letting us witness a woman who doesn't just pivot, but rises and enjoys waking up, enjoys rising. I'm inspired, I'm empowered, and I think I'm a little more ready to choose myself again, you know, to wake up and dream again after the nightmare. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mpumi.
Have a lovely evening.
Same to you. Good night.
Night, night. That was our shapeshifter. Now over to you. Are you going to reinvent yourself with courage? Are you going to wake up and dream again after that nightmare? Are you going to give your life another try, another go? As difficult as it is, as traumatizing as it might be, you get to choose. You get to choose. Does the past write your future, or do you pick up the pen and begin to write again with God?
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.